7.9.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Solid. Right on.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Yeah. Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. Here's your host, Dr. Richard Danford of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
Well, good morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Leitner with First Thursday Jacksonville and Harvest Intervention Services in the studio this morning with Dr. Richard Danford of the Jacksonville Urban League. And we are here this morning together in the studio while our other co-host is traveling. So he's going to call in and chime in, I guess, about 8:30 or so and join in on the conversation. But I'm just glad to be here. Happy Saturday, Dr. Danford.
Oh, wow. It's happy Saturday to you.
Yeah, it's a wonderful day.
It's kind of gloomy looking this morning. I guess we're going to get some rain, but it's still a beautiful day. Well, this is God's day, right?
Absolutely. He created these days. So
if it had not been for the Lord on our side,
where would we be?
I know one thing. I know where I would be.
Not in our right mind.
So
we're thankful for that, and we're hoping that our listeners out there are thankful. You know, find something to be thankful for this morning, and like you said, Dr. Danford, just being here. You know, thankful for the Lord being on our side, and we're here on the Empowerment Hour just to bring some information to you about what goes on locally and nationally, trying to bring awareness and educate our community so that you know, encourage the community to go out and advocate for the things that are right for the city. So we have a lot going on, Dr. Danford. Just wanted to give a shout out to all the students again that made it through that first week of school for the 2019-2020 school year. Hopefully they're all getting adjusted and acclimated to their new teachers and classes and all of that.
Hopefully all
peers,
the air conditioners
all the new
are
people.
Working.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully they've resolved some of the maintenance issues prior to the doors opening this week. So anyway, the main thing is the content. Hopefully they opened up the right content and students are opening up their minds to receive. So we again hope for a wonderful.
You're right. It's not necessarily year. It is about the buildings, but it's also about what happens inside the buildings.
Absolutely.
In terms of our children's minds. And
yeah, so we see that there's a lot going on with the money that's been allocated. You know, we've been talking about budgets.
We talked about the money last week, I believe, right? Follow the money?
Yes, follow the money. So the money's still staying in the news, and we see that the budgets or some of the grants through Kids Hope Alliance has made top headlines this week in reference to the CEO over there who's currently on administrative leave for reporting that a couple of I believe is it the mayor's a couple of the people that are on the mayor's team they encouraged him to I guess allocate some of that grant money to specific grantees, so that the money is allegedly directed to certain grantees to receive it. So I guess it's like, RFP for nothing. You just fill out that.
Is that for political support, for campaign support? I'm trying to figure it out. I have the list. Listen, by the way, we want our audience to know that a lot of what we talk about certainly are our personal opinions on some things, but the majority of what we present to our listeners is public record. It's public information. We either get it out of the newspaper, on the air, and other social media.
Or the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, but it's we just want you to know we're reporting what's already out there. So this is not whether the city's doing wrong, whether in this case the head of the Kids Hope Alliance. But I do have some comments on that. Mm-hmm. And the first comment is seeing the history of this Kids Hope Alliance after the new mayor, then Mayor Curry, reorganized the Jacksonville Journey.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And there was a lot of contention about that because people and organizations for years had gotten funding from the city to provide services, and the majority of them continue to do so. And I think what is happening, that executive director, you know, came into a situation. It's probably, in hindsight, I probably wouldn't have taken the job because of the political divisiveness taking place around that. But it is what it is. So we're reading that that the executive has been put on administrative leave because, well, one reason, he's supposed to be under some kind of investigation. But it appears as though he went on record some months ago indicating that he was being strong-armed and being encouraged to give grants to certain organizations. And when you look at the list, of those that received them, apparently, this is my opinion, there was a desire to put some small pots of money into the hands of some of these community organizations that were really complaining about the crime in their neighborhoods, mm-hmm. but not having any resources to do anything about it, because the majority of the money goes, you know, to the sheriff's office in terms of new police and shot spotting and other technological things to deal with the crime. Mm-hmm. So I guess it was a way to get some funding into the hands of some churches, ministers, smaller organizations.
So you're talking about the $10,000 grant.
I'm talking about the $10,000.
Which is a smaller grant because there are other funds as well.
Well, you've got to realize that we're talking about an entity that gives out, $40 million a year? Mm-hmm. And so this is all public record. You can go online and see who gets the money.
Mm-hmm.
And which organizations get the resources, which gives them then the capacity to mm-hmm. provide services mm-hmm. in those communities that are challenged,
yes.
where there are so many difficulties taking place. So we'll move along from that.
I just wanted to say, just let the listeners know that the typical process for that, Dr. Danforth, though, is to apply, you know, through either a bid or an RFP. In order to be in the running
Let me say that, having gone through bids and et cetera, it really doesn't really matter how well, you know.
How well that paperwork is put together.
It really comes down to who's in charge and who they want
to
get
give the money to.
I'm saying I'm a witness to that. I've seen it. It's happened to me.
So this is nothing new under the sun.
This is nothing new. But it's more prevalent now in that you really have to pay to play. So if you notice that those that prime the pump, that give to certain campaigns,
mm-hmm.
they then have just a better opportunity. I'm not saying it's hand given, but they have a better opportunity to receive the resources from the city. This is all public information.
One of the comments that we read that the CEO Joe Peppers made was that he just believes politics were interfering with the Kids Hope Alliance core mission of helping at risk children. So the mission appeared to be compromised. Because of what was going on, and his whole purpose was to fulfill that mission. It sounds like just based on that comment, which was to help the at-risk children that are in this community.
Yeah, but again, I mean, that's admirable. That you know, but who's qualified to help at-risk children? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back, I know we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes, but I want to talk about an experience I had this week, traveling over to Montgomery, Alabama, with a group of people. And
you have been in part of my stomping ground.
Oh, man, on the bus.
About an hour and a half from Birmingham. I spent a lot of time growing up in Montgomery, in the Tuskegee area, seeing all of that, you know, being amongst that history. So
it's a lot of history there. And I tell you, you can get, you know, you want to run out of there and just take on the world.
You
know?
You come out charged
you
up.
You come
right?
out charged,
you know, charged up.
Up
about the injustices that
but
go on day to day.
But before we go now, listen. You know, our motto when we come on is, you know, we have too many people dying. That's what Marvin Gaye said. That's our theme song, what's mm-hmm. going on. But, and I talked about this past Saturday, we were getting very close to 100 murders.
Yeah.
And no sooner than I walk out the studio, bam! You know, we're at 100 murders, ladies and gentlemen. And this time last year, we were at 77. So do the math, Charmin.
But we've increased security and safety measures, right?
77 from 100 is what? What is that? 23. So we've had 23 more murders this year mm-hmm. than we did last year this time. So, with that said, I don't know what it is, but we have more police. We have, you know,
we have more technology implemented.
We have more everything except really what we need.
Right.
And so no one's listening to really what we need.
We've had more, added to help with the crime, but the crime didn't decrease. We haven't seen what the goal is for implementing all of those measures. So
yeah, it makes you wonder sometimes, is there really a true desire, you know, to deal with this issue? Or maybe the system is such that, hey, let them kill each other.
Yeah, we need to come back. We're going to talk about that, because there's a couple other things that are going on that kind of support that question. Like, it's what's going on? And is that song just about murders? Isn't it about the killing of dreams and holding down businesses? And
it's about what we need to do in terms of our responsibility.
Right.
You know, for the community, for our families, for our children. On and on and on. We just can't think about ourselves. I mean,
absolutely.
When you think about those before us that have sacrificed their lives, the Martin Luther Kings and all of them, you know, and oh my goodness.
And you know, that history is being pushed out of the truth about what happened is being pushed out of the books and these generations don't know.
Things tend to repeat themselves, okay? Mm-hmm.
All right, that was the point. Yeah, you made a good point. Good point. All right, well, the telephone number here is 831-1079, 831-1079. We ask our listeners to call in with any comments or any questions. And, again, we thank you for listening and tuning in each morning. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9, and we'll be back.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9.
107.9.
Praise 107.9.
God has come to restore souls. My sister Leandria is going to help me with this one. Share your story.
Deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me.
Sometimes we are our worst enemy.
Hurt me, yeah.
God, rescue us from ourselves.
Lord, deliver me, 'cause all I see to do.
Background set.
Oh, oh, Lord.
God rescue me from myself, from my overthinking. If you're listening out there, just repeat after me if you're struggling with your past and say,
oh, oh,
let the Lord know. Just say, oh,
oh, oh,
he wants to restore your soul. Just say,
deliver me.
Hey, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. Break it on down. So it is. It is so. Amen. Now when we pray, we want to end that with a declaration, a decree. So I'm speaking for all of you listening, starting here, starting now. The things that hurt you in the past won't control your future. Starting now, this is a new day. This is your exodus. You are officially released. Now sing it for me, Leandria.
All right. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm Jarmin Leitner in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford, and we're here just talking about what's going on locally, and we're going to get into hopefully some of the things that are going on nationally, Dr. Danford. But we have a guest that stopped by to say hello to us this morning, and we wanted to allow him the opportunity to give a shout out. So good morning, AJ.
Dr. Danford, hey, what's happening, man?
Hey, man, tell us what's going on.
Oh, man, I thought I'd surprise you. I remember when I was here doing the Saturday mornings here at Praise 107.9, and I had to produce the show here for you. And you're still here, man.
We're still here.
Y'all been doing your thing. So congratulations on that.
Well,
congratulations on that and everything that you do here in Jacksonville. And, I mean, you make a difference here, and people can appreciate that.
So you over in the Sarasota,
yes,
St. Pete area, are they experiencing some of the challenges, the same challenges what's happening over there, man?
Absolutely. You need to come down there.
No. We have our hands full here.
Can you get an urban alternative in Sarasota? It's a great city. Not a whole lot of radio like Praise 107 for sure. I do miss that. I've been able to turn on a radio station that I love to listen to in terms of, you know, what this station here offers to Jacksonville. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you want to come down there and get something started, let me know.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, AJ.
But you still listen to us on the app, though, right, when you get a chance?
Oh, yeah,
right.
Yeah. Okay. I always sneak in and listen on the app, just check y'all out. So, but y'all doing a great job, all the things you got going on. We're getting ready to go into an election season, so,
yes,
you know.
Yes, so, we're talking about that.
Ooh, yeah. You mean the pay-to-play season? Yeah, man, we've got, you don't know it, but the city council next week is, mm-hmm. We're going to have the finance committee and the rules committee to help the council make up their minds as to whether they're going to allow, the school board to proceed to put the half cents on the, sales tax.
Whoa, okay.
This is interesting because we want the community to know about this process. So Duval County and Clay County are kind of in parallel with the referendum going on the ballot. Both counties want that on the ballot this year. Well, Clay County just received their information, their decision that the commission is saying it has to be put off until November of 2020. Well, the Clay County Commission can determine when it goes on the ballot, but they cannot determine if it goes on the ballot. The school board determines if it does and what they
That's
want on
Clay
the ballot.
County,
That's
but,
in Clay County.
Okay,
but
we're in Duval. Tell me what's going on in Duval.
So at Duval, my understanding is that the Duval County School Board, they don't have any authority to say when or what. They can propose what wants to be on it, but they don't have the final say so of whether it is going to make it to the ballot and when it makes it to the ballot.
Yeah, but you're kind of stretching it. Really, what is being said is that the Duval County School Board does not have the authority to do what they are attempting to do in terms of putting it on the ballot and deciding if and when it should go on the ballot. this. So what we're seeing is the city council says that they have the authority to do it. And okay. So we had a meeting this week, early in the week, and of course organizations were not able to make any comments, with the exception of the executive director of the KIPP school. And, you know, KIPP is a charter school, and one of the mm-hmm. main points of contention in all of this is the advocates for charter schools. I'm not against charter schools, but the advocates for charter schools are saying that they should be included in this money. They're looking at $150 million up front for their, you know, for their schools. And so where is the line? Where is the give and take? Do you just open the door and let the charter schools have, you know, $150 million? I mean, where are we going
so
with
is,
that?
So is the approval based on whether that language is there?
That's what's being pushed. I mean, when you listen to the city council members, they are asking, they continue to ask for more questions. You know, and when you think about everything that's been done in Jacksonville, the billions of dollars we've spent, and I mean, you know, we're getting ready to spend $450 million on, you know, to around the stadium for economic development. You know, and that's a certain area. That's an opportunity zone. You know, where's the economic development in the neighborhoods that really need it? Where are the jobs? You know, Jacksonville, mm-hmm. we have jobs coming in left and right, but they're not in those areas where the unemployment is very high.
Well, you're talking about economic development and the funding that's being put out in the city. There's also funding that has been set aside to renovate the Florida Theater. So,
that's a city-owned facility. I mean, that's fine, but we're not really that. It's a city-owned facility, and yeah, they should do that. But I'm saying, you know, what about Kings Road? What about Myrtle Avenue? What about Soutelle? What about these? What about the schools in the Northwest area?
What about these areas?
It's. I was in Birmingham. Not Birmingham, Montgomery, and I visited the museum on peace and justice, the lynching museum, where, you know, I know people don't want to talk about it, but there were 40,000 documented lynchings of African Americans. Okay. Mm-hmm. During a certain period, 40,000. Even in my hometown of Waycross, Georgia, up in Ware County, I mean, we had six lynchings there. So you look at Gainesville, Alachua County, they had about 12 lynchings. I'm just saying. So all around Sarasota, you over in Sarasota, I mean, we were being lynched all over the place, and I mean that.
Wow.
You know, and some people are saying that even today, where you're being physically lynched, where you know by the neck, but it's economic lynching.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Economic lynching. That?
Right.
Huh?
Ooh. Wow. Wow. Put us in a predicament, and then we don't, you know, we're not allowed equal opportunity, you know, as everyone else. Like you just mentioned, certain communities are receiving funding. Well, what about the communities that are the poorest and have the highest amount of crime? We don't, you know, we're in our research, we don't see millions of dollars being allocated for any of those areas.
And, we see $10,000.
Why? Grants. You know, who
we
can
see $10,000 grants being sprinkled out in the black community. You know, and I don't get it.
What can you do with $10,000? Really?
Huh?
What can you do with $10,000?
You can't even crank up the machine.
You can't get the receptionist. You can't to answer the phone. For
you're
you.
Right. Hey, hello. But it was a way, you know, to appease the black community. You know, you pass out a little few drops over here and over there, and then no one can say anything about the atrocities that's taking place in those communities.
Well, that just kind of sounds a little bit about, you know, even with small businesses, you know, when you apply for working capital or funding and they give you a small amount, but it's really not enough to get you to the next level. You know, it's just enough sprinkled to help for the moment temporarily, but it really doesn't help get you where you need to be. And so those resources need to be it needs to be enough to really make an impact.
Yeah, but
who's responsible for that though? Like, so the person who wants to make the change, right?
Uh-huh.
And they want to step up and help and like deal with these issues that we're presenting. Who ultimately is responsible for that? And then when they do jump in and do it, how do they keep from getting beat up if they don't do it the right way?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, there's so many things working against us. We have a consolidated city form of government. You have a strong mayor, and then you have the council. But in Jacksonville, we've got 19 city council members. They're the majority of them are district. We've got five maybe that's at large. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the majority of the majority of council members are Republicans. And, you know, many of us are Republicans and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, they tend to stay in line in step with the mayor. So if the mayor says he wants something or does not want someone to get a grant, it's not going to happen because of the votes. You know, you're outnumbered. We have obviously African-American city council members, but really, do they have the capacity? Do they have what it takes to get something done? Because you need, what, 10, 11 votes in order to do anything. And so there's a lot of give and take in order to get things for our communities, because you have more council members that are looking at the majority of the community rather than specific council member districts.
Okay. So when are we going to get beyond, you know, just Republican and Democrat and the politics of it and do what's right?
I don't think you're going to get past
for the community.
I don't think you're going to get past that. I really don't. I think we've got to continue to roll up our sleeves and work on it. We can't. It's very frustrating. People want to come into the process, they can't handle it, and they leave. But someone, you know,
we just got the young people who are making money.
People,
they got to buy these properties and redevelop them and then to control them themselves.
We definitely need young people more involved in understanding the value of money and how to have generational wealth and to establish themselves. I mean, you know, we've got to get in on this and continue to grow so that we'll have more revenue in our communities. We do have a call on the line, but we're going to have to take a break. Okay, we have someone who just called. All right, and we'll bring them back in when we come back. So we are coming up on our third segment of the show. We're getting ready to take a music break. Again, our telephone number is 831-1079. That's 831-1079. And this is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. We'll be back.
Let's go. Come on.
Here we go.
Everybody shout with me.
Yes, Lord, I agree.
All right. We are back on the Empowerment Hour this Saturday morning. I am Jarmin Leitner in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford, and we just got our other co-host to join in on the line, and that is Larry Williams. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, good morning. Happy Saturday. How everyone doing today?
We are doing great. We're doing great. We hear you're traveling. Hopefully safe travels for you today.
Absolutely. Just walked off the plane here in Baltimore. So.
All right.
Baltimore, they had all those shootings up there, right?
Yeah, I think the Cummins and Jacksonville see who has the most murders.
Oh, goodness. Well, maybe Baltimore has some different security implemented. But, Larry, we do have a caller on the line, and we're going to let him let us know what's going on, and then we'll continue to talk about what's going on in Jacksonville. All right, so good morning, Barry.
Good morning. This is yours truly, Florida's own, Barry S. McCloud. We're going to be at the Salem Center tonight.
All right, Barry, tell us about the play again. It's tonight?
It is tonight, and I'm told that I'm getting ready to get on the road now and head back up that way. I'm told it's raining, but I'm getting a lot of positive response from Jacksonville saying that they're going to come out and see this play. It's Divorcing Us. We have a 5 o'clock show and an 8 o'clock show, and so we're just excited to bring this powerful production to Jacksonville.
Yeah, should you be in the process of getting a divorce when you see this play, or what?
Well, the beautiful part is if you are in the process of getting a divorce, when you see this play, if you both love each other, you probably will not get a divorce.
Wow,
but
okay.
This play is really for everybody. It's just some family, wholesome fun and everything. But it does speak to marriages and relationships in a very positive way. And the biggest part of the message is how we keep God in front of everything and behind everything and on the side of everything and let him, you know, be a major part of the marriage and the relationship, and things. The relationship will prevail under those circumstances.
You've got to put God in it, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I can attest to that, having been married a couple of times, almost 40 years now. You've got to have God in order to keep these relationships together, because there's just so much you're dealing with.
Yes, yes, and you have two different people, two different personalities, trying to come together as one, having different goals, you know. So, yeah, you definitely have to have God to help you navigate through that. So
that's the beautiful part of this play. Pardon me for cutting you off, but that's the beautiful part of this play, because the characters on the stage, they actually portray a lot of these different scenarios that take place in the couple's home, and some of those scenarios are not pretty. Mm-hmm. And we make it funny. We do this. We emulate it, and we make it funny, but we make you think and think about how you can benefit and restore and encourage each other and make it work and get through it, you know, because so much of what we go through is universal. We all go through it no matter what part of the planet we live on, you know. We go through these things. Some things just come with the territory.
All
so
right.
We take those things, we make it fun, and then we take you down memory lane and remind you how it was when you first met. What made you fall in love in the first place? We reflect on that just a little bit as well.
Well, what's love got to do with it?
When we got money. No, I'm just
kidding. Well, we need more money now.
What you think about that, Larry?
I don't know what love got to do with it.
Well, again, Barry, we encourage our listeners to come out to Divorce in Us. That is tonight at the Salem Center. There's a show at 5 o'clock and one at 8 o'clock.
Is there a cost for that, Barry?
Yes, there is. And you can pay at the door. Some people are electing to go online still. We're still getting some online payments, and some seats you can save $10 off. But you can pay at the door as well.
So you can pay at the door as well as Eventbrite. .com, is that correct?
Eventbrite.com, yes.
Okay,
Barry.
Look forward to seeing you this
evening,
right. Okay?
And thank you so much for having me.
Okay. All right, thank you, Barry.
Great.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's Divorcing Us. That play is taking place tonight right here, Dr. Danford, at the Salem Center. So
who's going to follow Divorcing Us? Larry? We'll let Larry follow that.
Go ahead, Larry. Dr. Danford's giving you the floor. Larry, can you hear us? Okay, Larry chimed off for a moment, so hopefully we'll get him back on the line. But Dr. Danford, there was a Jacksonville lawyer who claimed that marijuana was legal. Did you hear about that lawyer? I mean, he was a legitimate lawyer, not a fake lawyer. He was a real lawyer.
Well, isn't marijuana legal now?
Well, at the time that he was saying that it was legal, it was not legal.
It was not, but it is legal now.
Hemp is legal. So, hemp is legal.
What's the difference between hemp and marijuana? I don't get it. They all look the same, don't they?
They do, but one has more THC than the other.
Well, what is that? What is all that?
That's the chemical that causes a little bit of a high or buzz is what they call it. But the hemp has a low THC amount, no THC.
So the more THC you have, the higher you get?
From my understanding, yes.
Flying high through the friendly skies.
So this lawyer actually had a website and promoted that that this was actually legal. He was charging $800 to people, actually giving them official legal certifications and giving them a sign to put in their yard that they are growing medical marijuana. Wow. And they all were arrested.
It's all about the money, remember?
Well, it's about his money now. He has to pay each one of them $370,000.
Well, he won't be able to get his rights back after he
gets out of jail, his voters' rights, until
he pays all that, right?
Until he pays his rights,
absolutely. Because that's what's happening now. You know, once you do your service, do your time,
mm-hmm.
you've got to restitution.
Yes,
so if you have some money that you need to pay, you're not going to be able to get what they're saying. You can't get your voting rights back.
Right, that's what they're saying. So
that's kind of backwards, though, isn't it? Don't you need to get your voting rights back so that then you can start get legal and get a job and all that type of stuff? So
yes,
you can make that restitution.
Yes, so that you can vote on the laws and make sure that bills are in place that help you to make your money and sustain your money.
I tell you, we need to take another look at the term economic lynching.
That's the new term, economic lynching. Yes. Right. So Larry, we were talking about some of the things that were going on locally while you were still traveling. We covered the Clay County and the Duval County School Board and this referendum that I think Dr. Danford, you said they're coming up on a meeting here in Duval.
Encourage the populace, the citizens, to go to the Finance Committee meeting and to the Rules Committee meetings so that you can ask questions. I mean, we're putting certainly the City Council has the power to do this, but what happened to citizens? What about the Neighborhood Bill of Rights? You know, we're supposed to, that was enacted in 1995 by the City Council, mm-hmm. where they outline how citizens can get more involved in terms of the budget and the finances and the services of the city. But even the City Council will not support and enact what they've already passed. So everyone is against citizen involvement, community engagement.
The Neighborhood Bill of Rights.
Look at the 1995 City Council Ordinance, Neighborhood Bill of Rights, and it outlines exactly what citizens' responsibilities are, you know, mm-hmm. as well as rights.
And once we know our rights and our responsibilities, we can act on that. Well, there have been some changes in safety at this new school year in Duval County as well as St. John's County, and I just wanted to take a moment to talk about that because there's a significant difference in the response in both counties, Dr. Danford, and I think it should be highlighted. So this year in Duval County Schools, the emphasis on safety, now all of this is following a shooting in both counties. Now, Duval had a couple of shootings at high school games last year. St. John's County had a shooting in one of the schools as well. Well, for Duval County Schools, they're going to focus on the high school football games and the security measures that have been implemented. They're going to be metal detectors Okay, everybody's going to have to walk through a metal detector. Everyone's going to have to be wanded. That's that wand that they scan you up and down. You cannot take a backpack inside, so that's not allowed.
And unless it's bulletproof, you know, to have these.
No, so it has to be small. Well, unless it's a small bag. It has to be a small bulletproof bag.
No, I'm saying they're going to have bulletproof.
But if you have the bulletproof bag, but the weapon is in your bag, then.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're not allowing the backpacks. You have to have. Okay. You can have a small bag, but it's going to be searched. And again, those are the safety measures that Duval's implementing. Well, St. John's County, after their shooting, they have implemented an upgrade of new cameras in all of their schools.
Peekaboo.
So they don't get metal detectors and
that's wanding. That's more than peekaboo, Doc. those cameras are expanding. They're going to make sure they get a full visual perspective of everyone coming in and out of that those games and activities.
And schools, Larry. It's not just games. It's the schools for St. John's County, and it's also being monitored by the Sheriff's Department. So their cameras are online just like the cameras are online in Jacksonville Beach and being monitored by the Sheriff's Department.
I wonder how monitored those cameras are. Are they someone sitting there watching everything that's going on? It's just the fact that they have the cameras connected to the sheriff's office. That seems like a something. I wouldn't want to have that job, sitting there watching a boring video all day.
Well, my question is, is it not enough money in the budget allocated for Duval to implement, security cameras, safety measures such as that?
I think they're probably
in the high crime neighborhoods and in the schools.
They're probably going to do both. They're going to have at least one teacher armed, I believe, in each school, right? So one of the teachers, and Larry, you've got a lot of background noise.
Yes.
But, so you may want to put us on.
That's what happens when you're in the airport.
Put us on mute.
You're going to have to push that mute button off and on.
Off and on.
Okay, yeah, well, that to David.
I'm going back and forth. But, yeah, there is a lot of background noise in an airport. And I apologize to the listeners for that. Mm-hmm. But, hey, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah, so, but again, the question is just, when can those safety measures be implemented in some of these high crime neighborhoods and communities as safety prevention, as a safety measure, in addition to maybe the metal detectors or in lieu of? I just, don't know if it's the allocation of the money or that's just not a focus for the Duval County area. So,
well, you just follow the money and wherever the the cameras are. You've got to follow the contracts, okay? It's about the money as well as the safety. Somebody's got to make the money, Lara. And you'll talk more about that in the entrepreneur corner, right?
Yeah, that entrepreneur is traveling, making money. So he knows. He can help us. All right. So you can call in at 904-831-1079. That's 904-831-1079. We are coming up on our entrepreneur corner, and we invite all of our small business owners to call in about their services or products or any events that are upcoming. Or you can just call in with a comment or question about the topics that we've been discussing this morning. All right, so we're getting ready for this break. And this is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. We'll be back.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience. The ultimate gospel experience.
May rise.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm Jarmin Leitner in the studio right now, and Dr. Danford is had an event to participate in, so I'm here in the studio solo, but joining me on the line is Larry Williams, and we do have a guest caller on the line as well, this is Michael. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing wonderful this morning.
Hey, just want to give shout out to Accentuate Boutique. As you know, we share it with radio listeners and you guys. We relocated to the Reese's Square Mall.
Yes.
We'll be getting ready in a few weeks, getting ready to do a grand opening. Hope you guys may be able to attend.
Okay.
And also, anybody coming prior to the grand opening, you'll have a chance to register for a nice shopping spree.
Okay. All right. And when is the grand opening, Michael?
We're looking at probably the first weekend in September, so we'll let everybody know that.
Okay.
And where we located, when you go inside Reese's Square Mall, we're by the food court. So we're the first shop to the far left on the food court, because I think someone mentioned Reese's Square Mall was the largest mall in the state of Florida. So there's a lot of different doors to come in. But we are located by the food court area.
Okay.
And the shop is called Accentuate. So anybody come in prior to the grand opening will have a chance to win some great door prizes, a nice shopping spree.
Okay. So they can register to win that shopping spree if they come in prior to the grand opening, which is possibly going to take place the first weekend in September.
That is correct, John.
All right, grand opening. All right, well, Michael, we thank you so much for calling in, and we just continue to encourage you to keep going and moving forward as a small business owner. Thank you for participating in this opportunity to call and let the community know what you all are doing.
And thank you for this opportunity. You guys have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Bye.
All right, again, we're encouraging our small business owners to call in and let the community know what's going on. So, Larry, I'll just take this moment to give a shout out to Harvest Intervention Services. We are providing our psychological testing and our counseling services. We're actually kind of putting the emphasis on this beginning of this 2019-2020 school year. That testing can identify whether children have a learning disability, dyslexia, whether they're gifted, or whether they have some other challenges, whether it's ADHD or autism. Not all behaviors necessarily indicate that there is a learning problem. There could be other factors that are influencing whether a child's able to learn or whether they're able to follow directions and be compliant. So we handle those issues as well as the counseling part of it. So we do the testing and the counseling for not only children, but also adults and seniors. So if you have some questions, you can give us a call at 904-595-6516 or visit harvestinterventions.com. We have licensed professionals ready to take on some new clients. We're accepting new clients right now. We accept Cigna and Aetna. And so if you have any questions, again, you can call 904-595-6516. And I believe we do.
So Jarmin, these new services that you're providing, can someone receive assistance from your company via online, you know, like video, telemedicine, any of that stuff?
Yes, we do offer telemedicine as a part of our services, so you can actually receive your services at the comfort of your home or your job. You're in the car because we're able to provide it virtually to you wherever you are. So even if you're on the go, so if that's a convenient way for you to receive the service, that is an option for you. So again, you can call 904-595-6516 to learn more about how to get set up for that. As long as you have a smartphone, a tablet, computer, you'll be able to receive your services virtually.
Well, technology is really taking us to a lot of different places, and folks, you know, if you're not into technology, I don't care if you're an old guy like me or a young person like John, where you need to be in the tune with technology, because I'm doing this radio program now from Baltimore, Maryland, and you know, it's just a wonderful thing to be able to stay in touch, stay tuned with what's going on in the world, and we can report and see different areas of the country, bring the news and so forth to you, keeping you up to date on what's going on around the country and in Jacksonville and Duval County. John, you said you guys talked about quite a few different things. Have you spoken about your president this morning and all this craziness and foolishness that is surrounding him?
No, we haven't gotten to the president yet, but we have a caller on the line, so let's let this caller share what they have to say.
Absolutely. Call us first.
All right. Eugene. Good morning, Eugene.
Hey, good morning. Just to give a shout out to our business, we're Genesis Landscaping.
Okay.
We're a full service landscaping service, Duval, St. John, Lake County.
Okay.
We provide all the services. I'm sorry?
We can't hear you. There's some background noise. And if you just speak up a little bit, we heard you say you're a full landscaping service.
Can you hear me better?
Yes.
Okay. We're full service landscapers for Duval, St. John, and Clay counties. And, you know, we're going into the fall months, so it's getting ready to make your property ready for the fall months. I'll leave our number so if someone want to call and get some information. It's area code 904-703-7245.
Okay. So that's 904-703-7245. That's Genesis Landscaping. And you mentioned that we're coming up on the fall. So we can't do the same thing to our lawn in the fall as we can in the summer and spring?
Exactly. And you know, it's dark. It's time to start getting ready for your treatments to make your property ready for the fall and the winter months.
Okay. All right. Well, we thank you so much for calling in, Eugene of Genesis Landscaping. Have a great day.
Yes, ma'am. You do the same.
All right. All right, Larry.
I see Eugene is making it a regular call and on Saturday morning, so we thank him for that. And,
yes.
And, you know, encourage the rest of you. If you have a small business out there and you want to, you know, promote your business, then give it a shout out and let folks know where you are and what you're doing. 904-831-1079. Jarman, it's a great week that is ahead of us. Thank God for that. Thank God for St. Salvador's and all that good stuff. We have an opportunity here. I'll plug first Thursday Jacksonville. We'll be back up and running in September, and we'll look forward to getting you more information about that next Saturday of what's going on there. We've had a summer sabbatical, a couple of months off to let you and the rest of the folks that are attendees and participants, you know, get rejuvenated for the fall.
Yes, yes. So we will resume in September and give some more information about that meeting on next week. Yes, the summer definitely flew by to me. This was a quick summer, so I have to agree with my children on that one. It seemed to go by pretty quickly.
The summer did.
Okay.
Hey, oh, John, I was up in your neck of the woods.
Pastor Jacqueline Tisdale.
Up in Alabama.
No, so you and Doc were in Alabama when I'm not there.
where was he at?
The Montgomery area is where he traveled to.
Okay.
But we do have another caller. Larry, hold on a moment.
Okay,
we have another caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
And who are we speaking with?
Yes, my name is Apostle Jacqueline Tisdale. And I'd just like to put out about our after-school program. It's a free program.
Okay.
We are a new ministry downtown, close to downtown Jacksonville. It's called the Andrew Bush Pathway to Success Program.
Mm-hmm.
And we're about literacy, helping the children pass the testing that's coming up in the upcoming school year. We feed them dinner. We feed them a snack. We teach them so many things. We help with homework, help, tutoring, any projects they may have. We're just here to help our children get a hand up, especially underprivileged children, to get a hand up in life.
Okay, and how can someone sign up for that?
They can give us they can come by and see us. We're at 1726 North Main Street, and we're CB Helping Hands Ministries. They can give us a call at 904-353-2792.
Okay, and are there specific ages or grades that you're...
We do from kindergarten to 12th grade. And
okay.
We help people, whether they want to get into the military or whatever they want to do, we try to help them make that next step.
Okay, and that CB Helping Hands Ministry off North Main Street, and you have an after-school... 1726 North Main Street, and this is an after-school program where you feed the children dinner, snacks, and you help them with their tutoring or any kind of educational support that they need.
Yes.
K through 12th grade. All right. Well, thank you so much, Apostle Tisdale. Have a great day.
Thank you.